When we look at the Word of God, I believe that we, in the book of Esther, find really four main characters. Of course, one of those is Mordecai, and he is an uncle to Esther. Mordecai is really a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. He adopted Esther after losing her parents, and our natural birth always leads to death, and we need to be born again. So she was kind of brought then into his family. Matter of fact, we find in the Word of God that he led her into becoming the bride of the king, just as the Holy Spirit is leading us into the marriage of the Lamb. What a beautiful thing that is. We also find that he was constantly at her side, though she didn't always realize it. In chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her." So he had his eye upon her at all times. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit who is always there. And we have nothing to worry about in that regards. Matter of fact, he knew of things that others didn't. We find there was such a case in chapter 2. It says, "In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth, and sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name." So he knew things that others didn't, and he relayed that. And we have that same privilege through the Spirit of God. He's the one that teaches us the things of the Word of God. Now we find that one of those characters I mentioned, his really was a title, Ahasuerus. And he was a supreme potentate, really, of the known world. And it's actually a title that means majestic prince. He's probably not Darius, who defeated Babylon, for Daniel speaks of 120 provinces. And it's likely that he was Xerxes, the son of Darius. And though he was an ungodly king in many respects, he is also a type of the Lord in his greatness and influence and his generosity of character. In chapter number 1, verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, "In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 180 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast, and all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both in the great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace." And so we find his generosity, we find his great influence on thus the world of that day. We find he holds a great feast, as we also know that the Lord will do for us one of these days, as he displays us his bride. We find that Vashti, his wife, however, is a type of Israel in the fact that she was disobedient to him when he called her unto them. I think Esther then becomes a type of the church. When we say types, it's an illustration. It's something that helps us to picture something else. And she's a type of the church that has replaced Israel and is shown where to be and how to behave by Mordecai, who is what? A type of the Holy Spirit. It does not mean that Israel has completely gone aside, but it does mean that we are in that wonderful position now along with him in many regards. Now, we also find from the Scripture that because Mordecai, her uncle, wouldn't bow to Haman, and Haman was on the staff, basically, of the king. And we also need to remember that the greater never bows to the lesser. And it's always the lesser to the greater. And Haman thought he was great, but Mordecai didn't. And so he sought the destruction of the Jewish people. And Ahasuerus, without really consulting and finding out particulars, allows him the ability to do just exactly that. And so that brings us to our text that speaks of opportunity for such a time as this. an opportunity for Esther, who is typical of the church. We live in some trying times, but as God's people, we also realize those are times of opportunity. And so I'd like for us to consider a few things about opportunity this evening. First of all, opportunity comes in the midst of adversity. You don't climb a mountain without a mountain. You don't win a game without a struggle. You don't win a war without a battle. And the man who doesn't work well under pressure doesn't work well. You know, when we observe the great leaders of the past and of the present, we find their greatness lies in the difficulties that lie before them. Right now, we are in some grave difficulties, and so leadership is what rises to the occasion in that situation. We find that, for instance, Noah, there was going to be the flood, and Noah, instructed by God, builds a giant boat that would last the greatest storm that was ever upon the face of this world. Moses led a nation of people who were really weak against the most powerful of Pharaoh's armies, who was the known world at that time. We find David had Goliath and the great Philistine army, and he fought against Goliath and won that battle. Daniel stood against the anti-religious order of not praying to his God, and he did what he felt he should always do. And so difficulties don't hamper the success of a man, they make him successful. Too many times we find people quit because the going gets tough. I believe it was Teddy Roosevelt who said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And so we have a wonderful opportunity in this time. The whining Jews that Moses contended with, listen, it caused him to be able to stand above and do wonderful things. Matter of fact, it means that we're going to have to do some things that we don't necessarily like to do. I did not want to call quits on church tonight. I did not want to say we cannot do this. But yet the protection of people and what's being told to us, I thought was the best. It's what I'm finding many, many do. I will tell you this. Legislature cannot make such laws to tell us we can or cannot do. But under the direction of our governor and for protection, and so we are going to comply with that at this time. Also, we find that opportunity is short-lived. It doesn't last a whole long time. There's a phrase or a proverb that says, he who hesitates is lost. And you and I, if we have the opportunity, we need to get at it. Think about parenthood for a moment. You only have one crack at it, and you better do it right the first time. And so there's an opportunity. It's there. It doesn't last very long. If you've raised a child, you know that those few years, they went by so quickly. I look at my children who are in their 40s and 50s. I look at grandkids who are now in their teens and 20s and even one that's 30, I believe. And great-grandkids, you know, some of those almost 10 years of age. Things go by so quickly. You know, God tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. And so we have a great opportunity, but we need to take advantage of it. Train means, by the way, we better be consistent in making them to behave. It means that children are to always obey you. It won't happen if you just tell them once or twice and then let them get away with it. One of the things we learn about children is this. They will see how much you really mean by what you tell them. And they will try you. Matter of fact, they expect you to stop them. A lot of parents don't realize that. And so we find that many fail because they're too weak to say no, and many times plain too lazy to make sure they did or didn't do what it is. I read the story once of a father wouldn't allow his teen to go to the movies that was rated PG-13 or R. So that young man, he says, well, all my friends, they're Christians. He says, they're going. And he said to his son, well, I'll think about it. So the next day, he made some brownies. And when he's making the brownies, he took and found just a little bit of, dog poop in them, and told them if they would eat the brownies, they could go to the movie. I think he got the illustration. Now I want us to think about something tonight. Consider evangelism. If we fail to pounce on the opportunities that arise, we may never have the chance again. I remember so distinctly driving down the road many years ago in Pontiac, Michigan, and I saw a guy walking down the street, and God really laid upon my heart. It was like he said, stop, go over and talk to him. And I thought, Lord, that's really weird to do. And he's not going to listen to me. And I drove by, and I got about three blocks away, and there was a gas station there. I turned around, and that gas station went back up that road, and the guy was not there. I have no idea where he's at. I have no idea what became of him. And I look back and think, there was something I failed to do. So we have a lot of opportunities. In the moments we live in right now, as far as all of this that's taking place, we have some great opportunities. You know, folks are afraid to get sick, but they ought to be more afraid of dying if they don't know Christ as their Savior. And we have the privilege and really the opportunity so often to take and to tell them those kinds of things. Of course, we got to do it in a loving manner. You don't just look at them and say something really bad, but nonetheless, we need to consider using the opportunities that arise. And when people are talking about these things, we can go in that direction. There's something else that opportunity will do. It will place you in the unknown. This is where faith in God is all there is. There's been so many times in the pastorate I've thought, what do I do next? How do I handle this? How do I handle that? Matter of fact, the last few days I've been contemplating, God, what should I do in regards to all of this? And where do we go? What's the direction? And so the procedure is really quite simple. We pray, we act, and let God bring the outcome. And here's where we must say, not my will but thine be done. Now that ground that we walk upon may not be familiar, but it's not a time to back away. It's time to step forward and see God open the way for us. Listen, there's marvelous things that can take place. Do you realize, some of you that are younger, I've had a few folks suggest that they would do this. There might be folks in your neighborhood, people you know that cannot get out, but you can, and you go pick up a few things for them. What kind of testimony can that be for them? You got some folks in your neighborhood that perhaps they need somebody to stop in and check upon them. It's amazing. We love Doc and Dee. And one of the things I've heard from Dee's lips several times in the last couple of weeks is about their neighbors and how they're constantly checking on them and looking in and so forth, and how much she appreciates that. She says, I can never repay them. And they don't do it for pay. Their reason might be totally different than ours, but we can be a great testimony for the Lord in these times. Do we have opportunities? Yes. Are they there? If we look for them. Some of them will conk us in the head if we just open our eyes a little bit. And it's available to us. So let's not hang down our heads. Let's not be pouty and all upset and morose, but we might go forth with really a glee in our heart and an understanding that God has something that we've never dealt with before that he's going to give us some victory in. Listen, do you realize that you can take those who are on alive tonight, you know, you can invite your friends to watch with you. And if we change format, it'll even be easier for them. And you could actually say, hey, why don't you come over to the house and watch with us. They have to take numbers at the door so you don't go over 10. But anyways, it's amazing what can be done. If we just stop and think about it. So it's available to us. I'm thinking, too, that we can have greater opportunity with just a few around about us and might be able to go over to our neighbors or whatever. And God uses us in these areas. So let's not look down, but let's look up. Let's look ahead, and let's just praise God together. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for a privilege to gather together, one with another. Lord, I thank you for those who we cannot see, but Lord, many can see us. And Lord, we pray that you might bless them. We pray that you might use each one. And though many are confined to their homes and work at home and so forth, they still have opportunity via phone and text and emails and all of these things. And right now, social networking can be so marvelous a tool in our hands to use it for your glory. Blesses those of us who are here as we go our ways, and we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.